I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5 and verse 21. The Gospel of Mark in chapter 5 and verse 21. That's page 1004. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. And the subject before us this morning, as we continue in the study of the Gospel of Mark, is faith exercised in humility. Faith exercised in humility. Now, the Lord on the other side of the lake had been rejected by a Gentile multitude. He'd been sent away. But here, as the Lord comes to the other side of the lake, a Jewish multitude here gathered to him. Go away from us was the call from one side of the lake, and on the other side of the lake was come, come to us. We're looking forward to hearing what you have to say to us and for the demonstration of thy power. Luke records they were glad to receive the Lord Jesus. They were waiting for him on the other side. And this for us is a picture of the human race divided upon the lines of those rejecting and those receiving Jesus. As at Calvary with Jesus, we read, was in the center. And two other men were crucified. One we know before he died was converted as a believer. The other died as an unbeliever. On either side of the Lord Jesus on the cross at Calvary was a believer and an unbeliever, a picture of humanity. And the question before us this morning is, what side of the cross are you? Or what side of the lake are you numbered this morning? Are you saying to God, go away from us, to the Lord Jesus, go away from us? Or are you saying to the Lord Jesus, oh, come, come to me? Oh, now in the passage of scripture we are considering this morning, we're given the account of two amazing miracles. One miracle for the lady replaced despair with deliverance. The other for the girl replaced death with life. And both miracles bring our attention to the transformation that only Jesus can make in our lives. He is the healer and the giver of physical and spiritual life. And in the account, the sick girl's father and the sick woman actually come from totally different backgrounds. Yet both are united in their high esteem for Jesus. They both came to Jesus. And here is the safest place for unity this morning. A high esteem for Jesus. Because if we have a high esteem for Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, we will have a realistic estimation of ourselves. It will humble ourselves. We will understand what we are in and of ourselves. And we will have all our esteem for Jesus. For both of them, their testimony is quite simple. Only Jesus will do. Only the Lord Jesus can deliver. It is Jesus only for them. And this is the place where the Holy Spirit of God will bring us in our whole being for conversion. This is true conversion. It's a picture for us that we come to depend our whole being on the glorious person of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's humble trust in Lord Jesus alone. A faith exercised in humility. So, first of all, we have a ruler, Jairus, on his knees in humble faith. Verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, that is Jesus, he fell at his feet, this ruler. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter so affectionate, so compassionate, lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, Jairus was an extremely important man in Jewish society. He was a person who was respected. He was esteemed as a ruler. But Jairus had a problem. His standing, his position, his wisdom, his authority, his good works had no power over this problem that he had. His little daughter was dying. And in his understandable grief, he goes directly to the only one who could save him, her. Now, Jairus had heard about Jesus. He had probably even witnessed a miracle, a previous miracle of the Lord. And the name of the Lord Jesus would have undoubtedly by now come up in his leaders' meetings at the synagogue. It is evident, though, by now that Jairus truly believed in Jesus as the Lord of his life, and he goes to him in faith. And his faith brought him to his knees in humility. That is what true faith does. True faith doesn't exalt ourselves. True faith brings us in total humility before God, and he begs the Lord to come to his house. My little daughter is at the point of death, but come and lay thy hands upon her, and she shall live. And here we are given an example of unreserved, humble faith and identification with the Lord Jesus. Now, the term here, besought, in verse 23, means that pride and independence is replaced by humility and dependence. He was helpless in and of himself to save his daughter, and he begs, he besought Jesus, and he does so in humility and dependence. So we have a ruler on his knees in humble faith. And then secondly, we have humble faith tested. I won't read all these verses again, but 25 through to 34, we'll come back to that later on in our message, has to do with the lady who was healed of her plague. And humble faith is tested, though, here for Jairus by delay. By delay. There was great urgency in the matter. His daughter was at the point of death. And understandably, Jairus would want Jesus to go to his home urgently. But thankfully, Jesus is at least now walking toward his home. Nevertheless, this great crowd throngs around him, and progress is so slow. Faith is tested by delay. There is an even longer interruption now. Jesus talks to a woman who had been remarkably healed by him. Jesus stops to enable her to give her testimony. What patience needs to be exercised here by Jairus? Now, Jairus would learn here that God's sovereign, permissive delays are not actually denials. God's delays are not actually denials. So for us, in the experience of life, we face distractions. We face setbacks. We face delays. We face disappointments. But humble faith trusts in God and understands God is the God of perfect timing, and that if God is delaying something in our life, it doesn't necessarily mean God is denying it, but he's delaying it because his timing is perfect. But then we are brought to an even greater test of faith than that delay. We are brought to the test of death, because in verse 35 we read, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Now, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. How graciously Jesus, overhearing this news of death, turns his attention directly to Jairus and ministers to him. Be not afraid, only believe. And Matthew actually picks up the account at this point and records Jairus' faith being deepened. He worships Jesus and he says, my daughter has just died, but come and lay thine hand on her and she will live. Now you see how God is using even the delay and even the news of death to bring out fundamental faith. Here is the faith of Jairus shining brightly. What a testimony this is. How much brighter did this man's faith shine in the very deepest trial? And so it is with the way the Lord works with his people. He allows us to go through deep trials sometimes. And in that deep trial, in that dark cloud, in front of that dark cloud is the rainbow of faith shining brightly. Now what an effect it must have had upon those who heard Jairus say this affirmation of faith. My daughter has just died, but come and lay thine hand on her. She will live. And in the face of death, he still worships Jesus and still trusts in him, and in so doing is comforted by the Lord Jesus. And the Lord in his time of testing says to him, be not afraid, only believe. And dear friends, when you are facing times of trial, and times when you're afraid, at times when you fear, Jesus comes through his word this morning and says, be not afraid, be not afraid, only believe. In Psalm 56 verse 3 we read, when I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. And so important that is, we acknowledge our fears, we acknowledge that we're afraid sometimes. But what to do with our fear? Where is the medicine for our fear? It's faith. Simply believe, simply trust. What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Simply trust, dear friends. Simply believe, dear friends. And then I want us to see humble faith rewarded. In verse 37, they come to the house of Jairus where his little daughter is laying in her room. And we read that when Jesus arrives at the house, there is a tremendous noise going on. It's described as a tumult. The flute players were already there. The funeral crowd, the funeral party were already there, wailing because the girl has died. Culture has taken over at the scene, and the family and the house. And Mark records they wept and wailed loudly. There was no doubt in their minds that this little girl had died. But Jesus had no time for the noise. He had no time for this tradition, this so-called tumult, but he says for them to go away. Why make this commotion? Why make this commotion? Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But he knows this is going to be a time when he shows his great power and authority over death. Jesus said then, she is not dead, but sleeping. What does he mean here? Because it is evident that Jairus' daughter had actually died. But when the Lord speaks of death in this way as sleeping, he does so in the context of his restoration to life. He refers in the same way to the death of Lazarus, our friend sleeps. And yet spoke also of him being dead. Here Jesus is to show how he can give renewed life to a physically dead person. But the professional mourners ridicule the Lord when he speaks of her not being dead but sleeping. In the original, it means they laughed him to his face. They laughed him to scorn. They laughed in his face in a rude and mocking manner. They show great disrespect. They despise him. So they needed to be moved away from the scene. No good can be done when people are despising the Lord Jesus. When people are mocking the Lord Jesus, no good could be done. In fact, they were there and they were a hindrance to blessing with such an attitude. Only the parents of the little girl and Peter, James and John are allowed by the Lord Jesus into the room. And with great tenderness and authority, Jesus said to her, Talithai thukumai, which is being interpreted, little girl, I say unto thee, arise. And immediately her spirit returns to her body. She gets up completely and is utterly healed. Realizing her physical need as creator, he commands that she should be given food to eat. It's very interesting to see the Lord Jesus triumph over death. Luke and Matthew and Mark, when we take all the accounts into together of this event, we see how the Lord Jesus not only cared for her physically, but directly she arises, he instructs that she should have food. One moment Jesus triumphs over death, the next moment he appeases hunger. There is no measure to his power or his compassions which fail not. The Lord Jesus, on the one hand, can be this almighty God of power and raise this little girl up to life. The next moment, he can be talking to her about her needs physically. Food. What a contrast. That is the compassion of our Lord Jesus. So from this miracle this morning, we take great encouragement from the compassion of the Lord Jesus, the compassion of the Lord Jesus. Spiritually speaking, we can come alongside Jairus in his concern for his only child, an encouragement for parents to continually plead with Jesus to come and raise their children to life spiritually. We are by nature, we are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, and we need to be raised to life spiritually. There's a picture here. And we can pray, lay thine hand upon my child and it will live. Oh Lord, if you will touch my child, my grandchild, my friend, the person I'm praying for, if thou wilt but touch them by thy sovereign grace, they will be born again spiritually. They will live. And here is a prayer for us, dear friends. Lord, lay thine hand upon my child. The prayer of faith for the soul. Here Jairus begged Jesus to come to his home, and we can pray, be present, O Lord, in our home to bless our children. But then I want us to move back now to the case of the lady, because if we move back to verse 25, we have a sufferer on her knees in humble faith. We've looked at a ruler on his knees in humble faith, but now we have a picture, an account of a sufferer, a sick person on her knees in humble faith. This lady had this sickness, this incurable condition, for 12 years, and all her money and all her assets had been used up in our quest for healing. And she'd suffered much. She'd suffered many treatments from many physicians in a vain attempt to make her well. She could not be healed by any other, and she grew worse. But at the end of all things, at the end of all human help, this poor woman receives the gift of faith. If I can but touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, I will be healed. So it was she pressed through the crowd to simply touch the hem of his garment. This again is an example of extraordinary faith. Faith in the person and power of Jesus to heal her completely, body and soul. For this woman not only wanted to be healed physically, she wanted to be well in her soul. So if you notice in verse 28, she says, "For she said, if I may but touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And that's a very accurate translation. It means that she's concerned not only for her physical being, but her soul, her whole being. And in the original, it means that she's really concerned about her whole being. And her deliverance from the Lord was complete. But notice the struggle it was to come to the Lord Jesus. There was a great crowd. And so it is with us. Satan will not make it easy for us to come to the Lord Jesus. He'll put all sorts of hindrances in our way, all sorts of distractions. There'll be as a busy crowd, as it were, around the Lord Jesus, and it requires dedication. It requires effort. We need to get to Jesus. Only Jesus will do. But after she was healed, the Lord Jesus asked who had touched him. Because he knew that virtue had gone out of him. And he asked the question, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples thought it was a somewhat silly question, really. "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing, because he knew as the Son of God, virtue had gone out of him as the perfect man. And he wanted to speak to this lady. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now, dear friends, there is so much teaching in these verses. We haven't time to consider it all. But first of all, we see in verse 33, the liberation of telling the truth to Jesus, telling him all the truth, not just part of the truth, but all the truth. If we only come to the Lord Jesus and we only confess certain parts of our life and the problems in our life, and we have secret sins we're hanging on to, we don't want to be really dealt with, and so we tell Jesus half the truth, that may be the truth, but it's not the whole truth. We'll not know liberation. We'll not know freedom in our soul. We'll not know the joy of forgiveness. Because really we've got one foot in the world and one foot in, trying to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And so it is with life as well, and the life's experience. We have to tell the whole truth. We might say part of the truth. It might be true, but here we are taught to know liberation, to know freedom of conscience, to be at liberty, to press on. We must tell Jesus all the truth. Not part, but all the truth. And this dear lady, she told him all the truth. She told him. She tried everything else. And she'd come to the end of everything. And she no doubt told the Lord Jesus she was like a sinner before him. She was a sinner before him. But she was a sick sinner, not only physically, but spiritually. She told him all the truth. She held nothing back. She was very honest with the Lord Jesus. And what was the result? Oh, dear friends, daughter, thy faith. Oh, you see, friends, if we have a high estimation of the Lord Jesus, we'll tell him all the truth. We'll trust him. But when we don't have a high estimation of Jesus, we don't tell him everything. Respect for the Lord Jesus as the Savior, the Son of God, the Lord of the whole earth means we'll tell him all the truth. All about us, all about our condition. And we're just simply trusting him to deal with us in his wisdom. And he will forgive us and he will cleanse us. We tell him all the truth and see the liberation, see the comfort, see the peace that this brings into our life, dear friends. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith, which has brought thee to me, to trust in me alone and to tell me all the truth and hold nothing back. It's liberating. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Oh, dear friends, see the teaching here, the liberation here of coming to Jesus. Well, she needed to give her testimony and not be a secret believer. She came trembling in humility and in faith to worship him, the Lord, and fall at his feet. She declared to the Lord for his praise and glory in front of a huge multitude the reason she had touched him. She had a desperate need that only Jesus could meet. She believed that only Jesus could heal her. She testified to Jesus in front of the crowd why she touched the hem of his garment. She was healed immediately and felt so well in body and soul. So it was that Jesus encouraged her. Her faith had brought her to Jesus to be healed. Her faith was the channel. Now she could go in peace, liberated in her body, in her conscience, in her soul. Oh, friends, she went back away a whole person with joy in her heart. And she was looked on by Jesus as a spiritual child of his. She could be of good cheer. Go in peace. And from this miracle, we can learn in our own lives. It is only when we come to the point of Jesus only can we be saved. She tried everything else. She'd spent all her money. She'd come to the point of utter, complete dependence upon the Lord Jesus. And this is the point when we come to the Lord Jesus and we say, take my life, Lord. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Now, the road to that point can be a long haul for us. We don't all come to the Lord Jesus like Paul did, as we were reading of in the prayer meeting this morning, how he was suddenly wrought upon by the power of the Lord Jesus and immediately converted. Oh, for some of us, it's a long haul. There's a travailing in birth. And the way to the Lord Jesus is difficult sometimes. There's many distractions. And for this poor lady, she wanted to get to Jesus, and she had to really press through the crowd. And we may try many remedies that fail us, that do not bring satisfaction to us. They do not heal the sickness of the soul. We might try many other religions. We might try many philosophies, and we find no satisfaction to the soul. And our condition just gets worse. And no relief comes till we come to Jesus as our only hope, and we place our complete dependence upon him. On Christ alone, my hope is found. And both these miracles, the miracle of the healing of this sick lady and Jairus' daughter, show the same utter dependence upon the Lord. Both these miracles show the compassion and power of the Lord. And they show something very important for us. When Jesus deals with us, he gives of himself. Notice how Jesus said, virtue went out of him. Have you ever thought of that, friends? When Jesus went to Calvary and he shed his precious blood, it's that virtue that went out of him. His perfection, his righteousness, his suffering, his intercession on our behalf. This precious virtue that goes out of Christ. He gives of himself. It's not a technical transaction. It's not just like a legal transaction when Jesus went to Calvary. He doesn't just write a form and say, millions of sinners are going to be released through my power, and sign a form, and that was the end of it. It was nothing like that at all. He gave of himself for us. He suffered for us. He gave of himself that we might be forgiven, friends. Virtue went out of him. And when Jesus heals and Jesus forgives us, he gives of himself. Of himself. Well, I conclude this morning, reminding ourselves again from this account, key principles of faith. Key principles of humble faith. Signs of true and living faith. And I leave them with you this morning to think about and meditate. First of all, humble faith recognizes the deity of Christ. He is the Son of God. That is one of the great starting points of humble faith. Jesus is just not a good man. He's a perfect man. He's not just only a perfect man. He is the Son of God. He is God, man. God that has been made a man. Two natures in one person. Divine nature, human nature, in the very person of Jesus Christ. Secondly, humble faith recognizes your total dependence upon him. And that is one of the ways we worship him. We come to him and with all our confused state sometimes, and we tell him all the truth because we trust in his wisdom. We trust in him. And in so doing, as we come in total dependence upon him, we worship him. And then humble faith also shows a reality of our wholehearted purpose in coming to him. Humble faith perseveres. Humble faith understands that coming to the Lord Jesus is not always easy for us. Jesus said, "Straight is the door and narrow is the way." There's things that have to be left behind in our lives as we follow the Lord Jesus. They won't go through the gate. It's not ourselves and what we have and all our baggage to get through the gate. It's just Jesus and you, trusting only in Jesus. And then true humble faith is a realization that your faith is not motivated by anything in yourselves, in your good works or whatever it might be. It's motivated simply by the person and work of the Lord Jesus. It's a Christ-centered faith. And it's a relentless, persevering faith in spite of setbacks, the delays, the crowd, the death, the ridicule. You press on, looking unto Jesus, dear friends. And the reward of faith, the reward of humble faith, as you tell Jesus all the truth, knowing that Jesus knows all about you in the first place. You come as you are. You tell him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." What an encouragement this morning to come to Jesus, to trust in him, to cast all your burden upon the Lord this morning, dear friends. Whatever it is that's troubling you this morning, come to the Lord Jesus. Cast your burden upon him. He cares for you. Show your worship. Show your praise. Show your love by trusting him. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Come to him. Just like these two people came to the Lord Jesus. Despite all the opposition, even delays, even death, even the crowd, they came. And their humble faith brought them